And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome, everyone, to In the Green Room. I'm Kinga, and poor little Chet's sick. He's not here. He went to a music festival with his sister and about 10 friends, and they all party too much, and they're not here today.
Paying the price.
Paying the price. Right?
Yes.
And they're not teens, but they're, you know, college, young college kids.
Still got to pay the price.
Yes, exactly. So, Tracy, welcome.
Thank you.
Again to
thank you.
In the Green Room. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Tracy Martin. I am an immersive transformational life coach, designer, author, and speaker. And I get to hang out with these great kids tonight and have a conversation and cannot wait to see what happens here.
So exciting. And we are so excited. Karen's back in the studio. She's always co-hosting with us here in the Green Room. She's all about sustainability to the point that she took her kids out of school here and moved to Bali to a sustainable school. I mean, she is 100% sustainable. Welcome, Karen. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, very happy to be back in the Green Room. Dot Green, amazing show. And we do a lot with sustainability. We do development. I do business development with Security National Mortgage Company, and I do energy management for home. So just excited to be here, and the difference that that In the Green Room, Dot Green, is making is incredible. So thank you, Kinga.
Great we to be love back. You, Karen. I mean, I just learned so much from you, and we just... this last week, we did a Wim Hof breathing technique at her house. They flew this guy out from back east, and she had this whole group of people. I learned breathing techniques and how to ice bath, and it's supposed to heal. Check out the video on inthegreenroom.green because it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was incredible, the breathing technique by Wim Hof. If you've heard of him, they call him the Iceman. Absolutely phenomenal. And Errol came out to be with us, about 15 of us, and it was incredible.
All men except for you and I.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that ratio.
Yeah. just the breathing, when you learn about it, heals inflammation, gets rid of bad cells in your body. You go into this deep meditative state. We thought we were breathing for about 15, maybe 20 minutes. It was actually 50 minutes, and then it was the first time that I went in a full ice bath. So excited
and she goes
about
all
that.
The way in.
I went in, except for my head, but I'll do that next time.
And Karen, I want to say that's a big deal because I could not go past my thighs. Tracy, I could not go past my thighs.
You want to talk about ice baths. You got the man on the other end really? There. That is literally the master right there.
Welcome. Perfect. Let's say hello, Luke.
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself?
Hello. Yes, my name is Luke Kayam, and I'm a men's high-performance life coach and keynote speaker and a father of the future. And I'm joined here by my right-hand man, who actually is an ice bather himself here, Cannon Kayam. It's a phenomenal process. And once you begin doing it, like meditation or yoga, you'll do it for life.
Can he say hello? I want to hear from him.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. So when did you start ice bathing?
Like 3 years ago.
Wow.
How long do you do it for? How many minutes?
Like, so there's this place called Balance that we go to, and it's hot, cold, and the longest I've ever stayed in, it's like 7 minutes.
Wow.
That's incredible, because these grown men, nobody stayed in longer than like, what, maybe 5 minutes?
Yeah, not that day because of how many people, but normally they'll do anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes. So we would love to invite both of you, your whole family over Friday night, because every Friday we literally have a horse trough. And they fill it with ice. So would love to have your family, whoever you want to bring, as guests.
It's a party at
Friday
Karen's
night.
House. I'm going to be there.
And we'll continue the series, the Wim Hof series.
That's right.
And
just to prove his skill, where's the best place to get ice and how many bags do you need?
I love this.
Costco ice.
Yes.
It's $2 for 20 pounds.
So how many bags of ice do you buy?
20 bags of 20 pounds. The ratio is about 400 pounds to get it the right way with, you know, 5 to 8 people.
And how often do we do this?
So we'll be leaving here tonight and going to a place called Balance, which has taken the ice out of the equation. So we no longer have to shovel ice through the house and into the backyard. It's a phenomenal place right down here in Old Town. Shout out to the team at Balance. Our whole family goes there, and Cole was there last week. So they've taken the ice bath method, which is very European in sense, something that us Americans are now learning. But they've taken it and they've put it into a couple different jacuzzi baths, two cold and one hot. And then there's some infrared sauna. So it's great. It's great for inflammation when you have athletic kids and you train physically. It's just a great way to recover.
Well, I've been lucky to have both my kids be D1 sports academic straight A students. And I'm a little bit bragging because
it's okay.
I think it's really cool to have two of them like that. And I know that for all their sports, they did ice bath. I mean, my daughter hurdled and sprinted at U of A. She just graduated and she made it to the Pac-12 championship, the regional championship. And every time I'd go, you know, to see her, I'd have to, you know, go watch the practice. And she'd be like, now I have to go ice bath. And sometimes, because I was friends with the coach, he'd let me go in there. And she'd be in this huge ice bath with, like, the football players and baseball players. I'm like, oh, this looks like fun. I'm jealous. But, and then my son, baseball, lefty pitcher, same thing. But I think we need to introduce somebody that's a race car driver that's right next to me. Cole, I cannot pronounce your name. We're leaving the best for last. Yeah. Can you say hello?
I'm Cole Corallo. I'm a 17-year-old professional race car driver.
I love it. So tell me what you think about ice bath.
I think ice bath's great for athletes or whoever's like wanting to like meditate or, as Luke said, just.
How did you get into the race car business? And you're so young. I you look to me like you might be like 19.
17.
Oh, 17. Yeah. Okay, so at 17, how did you get into race car driving?
I got in when I was 9 years old through my parents just taking me to races all the time, like NASCAR races, and I wanted to give it a shot. So I started off go-karting, and I just furthered up in to cars, which I am now.
Okay, really
That's
quick,
incredible.
Cole, what is your goal, though, open wheel or NASCAR?
My goal is touring cup car.
Okay.
Or endurance racing. It's closed wheel racing, so like Porsches, Ferraris.
Is it a road course?
Yeah, road courses.
Okay.
Is it vintage?
No, they're modified newer cars.
Okay, because I did vintage race car driving with my ex, and it was really fun. We did Laguna Seca and Watkins Glen,
yep.
And it was really cool. We got to hang out with Jerry Seinfeld, and I'll show you some pictures later. You'll have to see all my cars and pics and all that.
Yeah, I've been
so we can talk, the Brassfields are all in the race car business, and so that'd be cool. In fact, Julie Brassfield, who's not here tonight, she's one of our beautiful sponsors with Onyx Body. Her spa is a health and wellness on Thunderbird and Scottsdale Road. She's amazing, and we have to pray for her son, Chad. Can we have a moment of silence? Her son just had brain surgery, and he's currently in the hospital. So can we take about... We love you, Julie. We love you, Chad. Brassfields, we're all thinking of you. And then we also are sponsored by Goodwill Arizona, and we want to thank them for being our premier sponsor. And then we also have Stroman Water. It brings you silky, silky smooth water. Very silky smooth. I love my showers now. In fact, that's why I was late to the show. My hair's wet today. Robin's so quiet over there. I think Robin needs to say hello. What does she have to say about all this? Can you grab a mic and say hello? And you're very quiet over there. No sounds or anything. What's going on?
Well, I can't do any sounds when you're doing a moment of silence. It's out of respect. So I'm being Habe over here. I don't play sounds when, you know, it's all about the moment.
Thank you. You are perfect.
But we can do something if you really want me to.
Yes, master.
Thank you.
Does that feel better?
That does. Well, today's show has so much meaning because we have an epidemic. Tracy is an expert here. She's written books, and she's a life immersion coach, and she's really focusing on teens right now because I hate saying the word, but there's been an epidemic of teen suicide. And so we want to focus on solutions and tips and how these teens can be redirected and be harmonious. And Tracy, tell us what you want to know.
Unfortunately, I believe that we haven't even reached the pinnacle of the epidemic at this point in time. And I think that so much of it comes down to what the narrative is today in the world. when you were talking to Cole about, you know, getting something that actually speaks to him, that's something that he enjoys, so much of that is in the search within the teenage years, is they haven't found something yet. So they kind of start to go down a path that may not be the best path for them, or they're around people that also are not the best for them because they're searching for their place, they're searching for their authentic voice. And so oftentimes you're lucky, Cole, because a lot of times kids haven't found that yet. And it's an outlet. It's an outlet for, I mean, am I wrong? It's an outlet for stress. It's an outlet for creativity, yes. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
And I think so oftentimes when you don't have something like that, you tend to kind of go down the wrong path, you know, and not, we can't get everything that we need in school or in home. And it's outward seeking, but inward knowing. And I think so much of that is what we're talking about at the Transformation Tour this Saturday with the kids, is the fact that, you know, we have to get tools and we have to collect those tools and we have to build a master toolbox. And when we do that, when something happens, whether it's depression or, you know, peer pressure, or even just our own pressure that we put on ourselves to achieve whatever that might be, or a language in our home that someone maybe spoke over us that we're not, you know, reaching our pinnacle. When we have a master toolbox, we can reach in there and we can understand, okay, I know this about myself. Let me seek this help. And it may not be help within your own home. It may be someone like Luke or like myself or even just a friend. And I know Teen Line is a big resource. It's peer-directed counseling. So like these guys, you guys can go volunteer, believe it or not, to actually talk to other teens that are dealing and struggling with daily life. And the cool thing about it is that you guys can then hear and have a conversation and volunteer. So like if Joseph was dealing with something, he might call. He will get someone the same age that understands today's narrative and today's culture these kids are dealing with. So oftentimes there are so many interruptions and disruptions. And so the goal with the events that we do, like the coaching that Luke does and other people that do what I do, it is basically disrupting the current narrative in this culture and realizing that we have an opportunity, but we also have a responsibility to do that at this point in time, because these kids have more coming at them than any other time in life. But they also have more tools accessible to create success than any other time in life. They just need direction. And as adults, we have to figure that out.
So what would be some of the tools or tips that we can give the teens, you know, before they get to the workshop? So people that are listening that, you know, have their kids and they're not going to be going to the workshop, so they can redirect their kids if they see some warning signs. And what are some of the warning signs?
A lot of times is, you know, drawn inward, you know, isolation is one, kind of cutting themselves off from communication is another one, grades, failing grades, relationships that are really very at a critical mass. In other words, they're not able to connect with someone in their own age group. All those different things are also normal for teenagers. So there's a miscommunication sometimes. So we can miss things as parents as well. You know, you think your child is depressed about, and then so you kind of go down that path. And unfortunately, sometimes we can impose, you're dealing with this, you're dealing with this, but they're really not. They're just having a teenage moment. So we have to educate ourselves as parents to kind of have that. And if we can't do it, we've got to find other people that can. So having resources outside of your home, whether it's school counselors or friends or groups or whatever it might be, go down that path. You know, seek someone that maybe has a different voice than you do or a different environment than your home is, and offer them solutions and have a conversation with them to basically say, okay, what are you dealing with? And sometimes the parents don't want to hear it. They just don't want to have that communication with their kid, or they think their kid is this and their kid is actually this. And so when you have a conversation from authenticity, that's really what matters. And a lot of times we tell our child to find your own voice, and then they do, and then we criticize it. So as parents, we must evolve. We must come to a place to where we can actually meet these kids where they are. And if our voice is not one of change, we need to seek that out without ego and without any kind of an obstacle, and realize that someone else may have a better chance at speaking to our child than we do.
Okay, so what would be some of the tips? We talked about some of the warning signs, and you know, these are some of the signs. What can they do? Like a parent,
get your child involved in mm-hmm. things. So oftentimes, mm-hmm. and not just school stuff. School stuff is still the same environment. So mm-hmm. volunteering is great. Give away the very thing that you need. You yeah. know, a lot of times, like we've got some dogs in studio. You know, volunteer with a shelter. Volunteer with an animal sanctuary. Volunteer with something that you need in your life. Give away. And when mm-hmm. you change the environment from school and home, it creates a different pattern and a different habit and different conversations. And that's really what it boils down to, is creating a different pattern will create a different outcome. And if you want a different life, you got to jump on a different path. And by doing that, it's intentional. This is something that you have to seek out, that if you can't do this, I need my child to be involved in this. I need them to find something that they enjoy. Throw a bunch of shit at the wall. You know, decide whether my kid loves racing, my child loves fashion, my, you know, something like that. And realize that you have to try a bunch of things. Get them physical. understand that
exercise.
Physical challenging who they are is so important.
So Karen has a few high school kids.
I do. And I love what you said about basically parents being self-aware and so many parents being like, not my kid, never would. So I have two in high school and I did a group.
This is a funny story. I know what you're going to talk about.
I did a group post about drug testing because drugs in high school, and unfortunately we just came from, we were at a funeral last week where the football player, where my kids go to high school, started drugs in high school and became an addict. And
This is a different story. I didn't know about this one.
Oh, wait, okay. Which
one? I thought you were talking about the one where you woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and all your kids were gone.
Oh yeah, that too.
Okay, that story was funny, but this one's not funny. Okay,
this one's not funny.
Okay,
so, but as far as parents wanting to say no, not my kid or not, right, not being aware, it was interesting because I posted about drug testing and why isn't drug testing kind of mandatory and the school's not doing it. And the responses I got, probably 70% were like, yeah, do it, whatever. But the amount of parents that were like, my kid would never, I can't even believe this topic conversation. So curious how you would recommend dealing with those types of parents, because at the same time, I have three kids, we have their friends over, we're open when we talk to kids, and I'm like, we know things that their parents don't know, and how to bridge that, not to offend, but to say, hey, you know, what's your...
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're going to offend because you're human. Right. We're going to judge because we're human, and the PC element is part of the reason why we're here, because we don't want to offend anyone.
Right.
And you can't communicate to the level that you're talking about, to transformative language, without offending at some point in time.
Okay.
But that's where it comes back to the person, right? The parent. So I have to be willing to say, yeah, you know what? My kid's going to screw up. Right. But I want them to screw up on my watch so I can parent them through it. But then that's going to require me to create a humbleness about myself that maybe I didn't know what I didn't know. And our child's dialogue and inner dialogue will never be dinner conversation. And we'll hear things, like I'm sure like you do. I have kids come over. I coach a lot of teens. I hear things that their parents will never hear. And so my goal then is to create that communication, that master communication tool to say, you need to speak to your parents in such a way. And I hold space for them. I'll come and sit with them if they can't, but their parent needs to know what's going on because they're responsible. The accountability factor on a parent is astronomical, but they have to be willing to take that on. And so oftentimes back in the day, if I did something at school, and the worst thing that scared crap was them calling my mom and dad.
Right.
Now it's like they don't even care. And there was a brilliant, I think I said this the other day, there's a brilliant teacher that said to one of the parents that you believe 50% of what goes on in my classroom, I'll believe 50% of what goes on in your home.
Interesting.
Because you don't have the authentic conversation anymore. Everything is pointing fingers. There is no one going there saying, I screwed up. I need help. I need to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And that's parenting too. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
That's
so
parents.
I want to hear from Luke. How do you feel about this? You have a young son. What are your thoughts on this and drug testing? And
so I smoked pot. I had a fake ID, and I drove to school in 8th and 9th grade. and I don't say it to make light of it. I simply say that in a very authentic way, knowing that that was my reality. And if I were to hide and lie behind who I was, I wouldn't be able to be who I am today. I definitely wouldn't be able to raise two kids who are going to deal with that and coach young men who are dealing with it right now. So the reality is to be able to sit here today and be in a position where I can teach and lead others to not make some of those same mistakes gives me my purpose and allows me to have these really, really tough conversations on a daily basis. Like, this dude knows everything about what I did and what I went through. And we say it and share it in a way that when the time comes when he's going to have to deal with some of those challenges himself, he knows I'm the guy to talk to. He knows that there is no hiding and there is no lying and there is no BS because, A, I'm going to be able to read right through it. And and he knows that if he's going to talk to anybody about it, he's going to be able to talk to me. So I'd love to ask Cole now, because if you just heard the 25 or 30 minutes we had in the office, I think I probably said some things that your dad may not say. And your dad's a client of mine and a good friend of mine. I had him in my chair earlier this morning and you this afternoon. But we talked about some things that you are facing and some stresses in life and some anxiety and pressure. What was that conversation like?
Well, we discuss stuff about growing up, becoming an adult, and having to face some pressures and life decisions that will ultimately be like your future.
Do you actually go to a high school, or are you homeschooled?
I go to high school with Joseph.
Okay, so then you race on the weekends or summer?
I miss a lot of school for it, but mainly race weekends.
Oh, awesome.
So I have a question too. I have a question for Joseph really quick, or Alejandra. So when you guys are at school and something like this comes up that actually bucks against your morals or your values or your integrity-based, whatever that is, what do you do and what is your voice in those situations?
What do I do if what?
So like if you're faced with a situation either at school or at a party or outside of your family home or your ecosystem and something like that comes up, how do you deal with that pressure or that conversation based upon your kind of your point of reference in your life?
I just get myself out of the situation. I kind of just go to a place where I kind of review my morals and like who I am, and I kind of just go from there, and I don't really like to choose sides or say, like, you know, that type of stuff. I kind of just be authentic of myself, and I just kind of get myself out of the situations that I get thrown in, that type of stuff.
So I want to put the kids on a or the teens
on the spot.
So have you guys actually been faced with alcohol or drugs yourselves?
Yes.
Yeah. Cole?
Yeah, all
Joseph?
The time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because this is kind of like my son laughs at me because we didn't allow drinking at our house. And, you know, before they were 21, obviously. And there's a dear friend, and I'm not even given a clue who it is because we're such good friends, but she allowed it at her house. And anyway, her husband's really famous, very famous. And she only let a small core of kids spend the night, and they would drink there. And I caught Chet drinking when he was like, I don't know, I think he was the first time, it was like when he was like 20. But, you know, he did three sports, and he was college athlete. So, and he totally started laughing at me, and he's like, "You think I've been drinking this whole time?" and then he told me where he was at, and he's like, "I have a fake ID, you know, all that." And so, but until he was like 20, I didn't think he even had a sip of alcohol. He's never.
Kanga, I have to jump in on this because I can't imagine what you guys actually deal with. I think we dealt with enough, but our seventh grader, who's here tonight, last year had transferred to a public school. And I found out at the end of the year, she would not go and use the restroom because somebody was vaping in there. And this is elementary school.
You're kidding.
No.
Adriana School?
Yes.
So in seventh grade?
This was sixth grade. So I found out at the end of the year, she wouldn't even go use the restroom because a male was outside vaping. So you guys, I can't even imagine everything that you guys deal with. And I'd be curious to know, what are like what do you guys see as the biggest challenges? Because I look at social media, you guys are all looking through a filtered world, which makes it that much harder on self-esteem, on everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, like some of the top things that you guys find are like the biggest challenges. You're saying yourselves, with your friends.
Cole, do you have any challenges that you can admit?
With school?
Yeah, with school or the pressures of alcohol or drugs or smoking pot.
Yeah, I mainly stay away from most of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes when I'm with my parents or with some friends, I just do like one or two beers. But
So your parents do allow you to have a drink in their presence, and then you don't drive.
Yeah, I never
right.
tried.
I mean, now that my kids are 21, we have drinks together, but, you know, we Uber like when we're together,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we have a lot of fun together, but it's very safe, and we know when to stop.
Yeah, I definitely know, like, not to do that stuff.
Well, that's great. So what about Alejandra? We haven't heard from her yet. She's in studio. Introduce yourself.
She's playing with the dogs.
Alejandra. I think she's going to be adopting a pet here.
Oh.
So Karen, do you want to, we're going to hear from Alejandra, and then we have to cut to Tyler King, official music. She's written us a song for tonight, and we're super excited to hear it. She stayed up all night writing a specific song for our show, and I'm overwhelmed that she would do that. So Alejandra, tell us what we want to know.
I do agree that like drugs and alcohol and all of that are like part of our generation right now, because mostly people just do it to feel better and just like forget about the real world. And I've realized that about a lot of people, because people just like use that as an excuse to just not to just ignore everything around. And it's like really sad, because I feel like that didn't used to happen. And now it's like I see the news like on how like all teenagers vape, and it's really sad because I don't do that, but I see my other friends do it and stuff, and it's just like, it's just really sad to me. And I don't like how that's like what our generation has become to, like, to feel better, because that's really what people do to feel better now. And on the weekends, it's drinking stuff to just like to feel like happy. You like have to drink and you have to go out, and I don't think that's, I mean, obviously some of us do drink and like, but still it's not, I don't think it's the right option these days.
Well, I think I just really quick, I think the sad thing is that I don't want that to be your generation defined. I think that that's what we have to realize. There's a lot of kids doing a lot of great stuff out there that are literally changing the trajectory of their life. And that's what I would choose to focus on. Like you said, I hate that your generation is defined with that, because that you guys are so much more than that. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, I find that most of my kids' friends that did extreme partying really didn't, they weren't doing sports, and they didn't really have a lot of activities that they were doing. Like, you've got the race car driving. I mean, both my kids were varsity, three sports athletes all through high school. So they really didn't have time. They had to be up. And then my son was on club teams. She was on club teams. We were always at a game. So I don't know when, well, just when he'd spend the night at this one friend's house, which I forgive her. She's now telling me, oh, it's so fun. We just went on the golf course and they just had some, you know, and that's fine. But she took their keys. She didn't let anybody drive. And, you know, that's where my son would drink.
And I don't think it's generational. I think it's social. I think most of the kids, you know, for me, I was drinking and smoking because that's was at my house. Right. So, you know, I haven't had a drink in 12 years. I raise my kids in a sober house because I want them to know the importance and the value of being clear-minded. It's not just these kids. Most of the people I see vaping in their car are adults. You know, we pull up to red lights, guarantees at least once or twice on the way to school, and somebody's blowing out a cloud of vape. What were you going to say earlier about what you see?
Oh, yes. I would love to hear from him.
A sixth grader? Yeah, it's
pretty. Oh, say your name, please.
I'm Cannon Kayam.
Thank you.
And it's pretty common. A lot of kids vape now. It's not very good.
At your age?
Yeah, a lot.
What?
Yeah, my little cousins tell me all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, you're 11?
No, I'm 12.
You're 12 and they're vaping?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's the only one who's, like, not influenced by that. Like, I try to help him so much. I'm like, you can't, like, I don't want him to.
Wow.
So he's got a pretty good vaping story, and I share it because how I was able to get away with that was that nobody was really watching over me. Grew up in a single-parent home, single-family home, and, you know, there was no dad there. One of the reasons why I do what I do is because of what I experienced as a young boy growing up. But he's got a pretty good vape story, and this is the proof of how important, you know, parents are, but specifically a father figure. Just tell him what happened two Christmases ago.
So I was eating hot Cheetos. And as you know, I live in a healthy house, and I was skateboarding with my cousin, and we were eating hot Cheetos, and my dad like flips out and goes crazy.
Well, I thought he was vaping. They were hiding behind the mailbox. They were just eating Cheetos. So you got to be paying attention to what your kids are doing. That's the moral of that.
That's funny. No, but I agree with you, Luke. I think it is social.
Okay, so we are going to take a break from all this wonderful talk of solutions with teens and how to enrich their lives. And we've got this wonderful angel, Tyler King. I think you can find her. I know you can find her on Tyler King Official on Instagram. And she can tell us where else. And she stayed up all night to write this song for us.
I did.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. You guys can find me on Facebook under Tyler King Music. YouTube is also Tyler King Music. And this song is called Just to Fade. I stayed up writing this all night, and I couldn't be more honored to be playing it here.
yourself a little patience. Give yourself some time. Was a long and lonely fall you took from the nest, but you'll be fine. Baby, why you so serious? Gotta laugh at yourself sometimes. Should have seen your face when the time you fell, when you fell down for the first time. Been hitting the ceiling for so long now. You've been hitting the ceiling for so long now. So don't you dare be surprised when the walls come crashing down. The greatness of change comes with the greatest of pains. And I know you didn't come all this way just to fade, just to fade, just to fade. You fade away. Won't you tell me what it is you do with your sweet time? Do you ever shut your eyes? Count constellations in your mind. Been hitting the ceiling for so long now. So don't you dare be surprised when the walls come crashing down. The greatness of change comes with the greatest of pain. And I know you didn't come all this way just to fade, just to fade. Don't you fade. So long now, so don't you dare be surprised when the walls come crashing down. The greatness of change comes with the greatest of pain, and I know you didn't come all this way just to fade. Just to fade. No, don't you fade. Don't you fade. Oh, no, don't you fade.
Thank you so much.
You're incredible. What's your second song? Let's hear a second one right now.
Okay.
Because we want to close out with you singing your third song.
Ah, awesome. Sweet. This is a song called Do Work that I wrote. Yeah, here we go. Sunday, I'm feeling kind of tired. Shut the curtains down just because the sun is out. Had a heck of a Saturday night. We watched everybody drink and fight. For once in my life, I stayed sober all night. I played my guitar in a corner to a boy who had blue eyes. He didn't understand the words, but he knew my tunes were talking light. I have this one dream where they're all clapping 'cause of me. A victor of a girl named King who sings. I wanna make a difference. So, oh girl, won't you take my hand? I'm going through so many changes. Some of them I don't even understand. I'm never gonna be flawless. And I don't know if I'd ever aim to be. I'm always gonna try to do better, even when nobody else believes in me. 'Cause I'ma do work, 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 and I'ma lose sleep, sleep, sleep. I'ma go so hard, even when nobody.
to work, work, work. And I'ma lose sleep, sleep, sleep. I'ma go so high, even when nobody else believes in me. Thoughts are getting loud. I shut the speakers up just so I can drown them out. Take a minute to shut my eyes, clear these voices in my mind. Walk myself through the steps just one step at a time. The stress, it kills. The struggle is real. Try to put a pen in this paper mind before it turns into a night. I wanna be different, so boy, won't you take my hand? I'm going through so many changes, some of them I don't even understand. I'm never gonna be flawless, and I don't know if I'd ever aim to be. I'm always gonna try to do better, even when nobody else believes in me. Cause I'ma do work, 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 and I'ma lose sleep, sleep, sleep. I'ma go so hard, even when nobody else believes in me. I'ma do work, 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 and I'ma lose sleep, sleep, sleep. I'ma go so hard, even when nobody else believes in me. Oh, 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 hey, yeah, yeah. I'ma do work, 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 and I'ma lose sleep, sleep, sleep. I'ma go so hard, even when nobody else believes in me.
Oh my gosh, that's the most incredible song.
You're amazing, absolutely amazing.
Thank
wow,
you so very
phenomenal.
Much. Thank you.
Phenomenal.
Can I ask you a question, you. Tyler?
Of course.
Do you think that your greatest music comes from your greatest pain? The greatest creativity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's that's my drive and my fuel all day.
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why these creative people go through such a difficult path sometimes, because the beauty comes out on the other side.
Absolutely.
And the music, your words are amazing.
Thank you so
Seriously.
Much. Thank you so much. I was really glad to be on this topic today because it seems like right when you're on the brink of just wanting to give up and thinking that the light's never going to come through, it's right there. So I thought this was a really cool topic to be at today.
Well, I'm so impressed because I happened to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I texted Tyler, something about the music or something.
Yeah.
Can't remember. And she answered me right back. And I'm like, whoa. And then she sent another text. And I called her. And she's like, I'm staying up all night to write this song. I just thought that was so sweet. So thank you so much. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
You are an angel. And I'm so excited to promote you every way I can.
How can we get
thank
that?
You so much.
How
so
can
you're
we get
incredible.
That? How can we get that song? Is it on iTunes or something like that? Or
Actually, it's on my EP, which hasn't released yet. So okay. This is like super special. But the EP is going to be coming out in a couple of months. I do have my song Reach and Run. You can find that on bandcamp.com. You just look up Tyler King Reach and Run. And that song is actually my child abuse advocacy song. So I'm using that song to kind of promote myself with CASA and things like that.
No, using it for your purpose, which is what
Absolutely.
It's all about.
Absolutely. I've always felt really fortunate. I feel like I have a huge purpose in it and a voice and stuff. So I feel that's what people need. They need to know what their mission is.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Well, you're incredible. So thank you.
So
this
much.
Is like the beginning of a big thing for you, I'm sure.
Thank you.
So thank you. We're going to hear from you again.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Please, one more song at the end from your angelic voice. Okay. Well, I'm sitting here with this amazing puppy. It's about 5 months old. And Karen Dorfline, that's sitting right next to me, she's always with the Green Room. She's always a support system co-host and friend. And she's always doing something to help the environment. And she fosters all these puppies and dogs, you know, just to help them get homes. And so she fell in love with these two fosters, and we're kind of fighting over which one I get and which one she's going to get. And there's a couple other pups in studio, and we visited a shelter this morning. It's called, what is it called, Karen?
Arizona Small Dog Rescue on Hatcher and 7th Ave are the cross streets. And just wanted to talk really about the power of video and sharing. I found out about this organization. I foster for Pathways Rescue as well as Arizona Small Dog Rescue, and only found out about them because I kept seeing these videos that this woman, Dusty Lee, kept posting and posting and posting. So I contacted her, and you know, I tell people, if you can't adopt, which I know everybody can't adopt an animal, then foster, because to get the animals out of a shelter, out of a small enclosure, we saw that, you know, today.
Yes.
Shelters can't have these giant enclosures and run spaces. So to get them out of there, because a lot of these dogs were either surrendered for whatever reason, a lot of them, you know, have been found, strays. We saw one this morning, adorable, about 3 pounds.
So sweet.
Adorable.
But I want them all. I wish I could take them all home.
Well, just so they're not in a stressful environment, and it might only be, you might only have them for a couple days, it might be a couple weeks, it might be a couple months, but I'll tell you, if you promote and share videos and photos, and this morning we did a live with these
check
puppies.
It out. It's
so this is
funny.
Crazy story. So we did a live video. And we have Shauna. Can you bring Shauna over here? What I love about Arizona Small Dog
Rescue. This is the coolest story about how this dog is already
adopted. What I love about Arizona Small Dog Rescue, they're not just little teeny dogs. Two of the first fosters I had from them were like mixed, like bulldog, like a 50-pound and another size dog. Anyway, we do this Facebook Live, and a couple hours later, I listen to my voicemails. I have a message. I saw your post, interested in Shauna, and I called this gentleman back, and spoke to him, and I'm gonna let him share why he called me, how you saw the video, and so thank you, Mike. And
so we're rescuing
Connie for coming
teens
up.
And we're rescuing
so
puppies.
This is a video from this
rescues,
morning.
Rescues. So thank you so much for arriving in studio to pick up your new adopted dog, and I now have two puppies on my lap.
There's a little bit of history here. We had four dogs at one time, and one. All of our dogs are rescue dogs that we've gotten from people that didn't want dogs anymore. Mm-hmm. One was a run of a litter that the lady basically was just going to go take down to the pound, and we took it. And one of the very first dogs we got was from the pound, and looked exactly like Shauna when I saw the picture on the phone. And she's a female and looks exactly like the first dog we had, and her name was Shannon. So it was like Shauna and Shannon, and it just kind of hit me, and I'm looking at the pictures, and then Karen sent me more pictures, and it was just like flashback to the very first one we had.
This is such a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Yes.
So here, right on the show.
And we drove all the way from Avondale because we just wanted to meet this young lady here.
Aww.
And she's just gorgeous, and we're going to take her home with us tonight.
That is so exciting. Right here, okay,
don't worry,
in the green room, we are so excited to say we got a home for the dog. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you so much. That's
woo-hoo!
A beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Robin. A sound.
But you know,
happy birthday.
Thank you. Oh, it's his birthday.
Happy birthday? It's your birthday?
It is.
Well, happy birthday.
It
so
is.
This is his birthday present.
There you go.
That's incredible. Okay. Sound number two. Sound number two.
For making a difference, not only in the environment, but in the lives of animals and everything else. So thank you, Kinga. Really.
Well, thank you, Karen. I learned so much from you. We're a great team. We're just like the dynamic duo, right? You're my partner in crime. So love Karen so much.
You know,
I got puppies in my
studio. Right? You know what, Kinga? I think the coolest thing about that is that we talk about rescuing the animals, but I think the human was rescued as well.
Oh, that's so true. So look at his big smile.
Right,
so,
that's what I'm saying.
So thank you so much for doing that. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure meeting all of you. And like I said, we're really happy. So we're going to go home and add another addition to our family here.
Well, thank you so much and happy birthday. I hope you celebrate in a big way.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for driving all the way from Avondale. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Do you want this one? Okay. Okay, so back
that's
to
awesome.
Our
nice.
Teen tour. So, Tracy.
Yes, ma'am.
We have the date. It's this Saturday, September 21st.
September 21st, and okay. It is at the Table to Soul Collective, which is off of Shea and Goldust. And we've got about 40 teens in the room total, and a lot of them are here, which I'm grateful for showing up. But the cool thing is everybody that's in the room that we're going to be able to pour into these kids and get everyone involved, you know, and that's really what it's about. It's about opening a space and having a conversation and realizing that these guys, we have teen panels that are led by teens. I mean, Joseph is on the panel. And what is the topic you're talking about?
Communication, basically, just like with parents and, you know, friends.
So why did you guys vote on? So I had the teen panel vote on two topics.
Oh, okay.
So tell me why you picked that one.
Oh, why I picked communication. Yes. Basically, communication really hits me from the heart because I used to have great communication with my parents, but ever since high school came along and I was running around with just friends, going to parties, just doing my own thing, and then starting school and then having a girlfriend, I kind of lost that communication barrier with my parents, and you know, our relationship kind of drifted away. So communication's really strong to me because I just really want to bring that communication back, and I'm starting to do that, and I'm seeing a big difference with me and my parents' relationship. So yeah.
So what was the other topic?
Hierarchy of high school, and I think what was the other one?
I think those are the two, and okay, that was one of the conversations that was the hierarchy of high school, was because like what we talked about last time, Alejandra, share that story again really quick when we talked last time. About that you were having difficulty with the same thing that Joseph's talking about bridging conversations in family and high school. You talked about your mom and your parents and that.
Talking about that, I fixed things with my mom because I realized it's not worth it to just fight over stuff because I'm going through a rough time with high school, and I realized that I need to take care of things that really matter the most instead of just like forgetting about it. And I talked to her and we had like a really good conversation, and I just really think that you have to talk to your family first because family's always going to be there for you. And during high school, you're not gonna, like, whatever you go through, it doesn't matter who your friends are, but you'll always have like three good friends, but your other friends won't like really matter as much as your family like cares about you. So you really do have to keep good communication with your family, especially with your mom.
So. True. Cole, what about you? What do you think on this topic?
Yeah, I agree with what Joseph was saying. I've had great communication with my parents throughout high school and my whole life, but I definitely notice it with a lot of kids throughout high school and growing up.
Do you think that, I think part of the issue is that, like Alejandra, did you start the conversation with your mom?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things too, is that you guys have to understand that your voice is so powerful within your own family. You can be the peacekeeper as well. It doesn't have to come from your mom and your dad. So don't discredit because you're a teenager or a kid. You guys, your voice is so powerful. Sometimes you have to teach your parents to do that. And I think that's what you did after the last thing. I mean, and that's the beautiful thing about why the events, why we're doing that, is empowering these guys, not from a place of, you know, I know better than you. That's not what this is about. This is, I know different than you. And then you can realize that we don't know what we don't know until our kids tell us. And then we have a decision to make, whether we want to listen and grow and expand or whether we want to keep it stuck. And I think that's a great thing.
Like what you were all saying earlier, how parents don't know what's really going on. They think one thing, but if you try to tell them what's actually happening, they don't really think it. They're like, no, my son is doing this, but they don't really know. Or like if like your kids are doing something bad and they just hide it, then your parents wouldn't know. Like, they always think you're just, like, a good kid, but they don't ever know. So you always have to keep, like, good communication with them.
Well, I love these tips, and I love that you guys are all being open and honest. And I think, you know, that's what it is all about. It's everything's about communication, don't you think, Karen?
Absolutely.
I know. I feel like I'm going to admit a few things that I did as a parent. Like, my kids would be like, oh, we're going to go out and teepee this house. And then a bunch of the baseball players would go and some of Rachel's friends would go. And, you know, I would drive them. And, I mean, no harm done. You know, I knew they were going to do it anyway.
That's innocent fun.
And in fact, one of the houses we did teepee was Randy Johnson's house. And he knew we were going to do it.
Did you do it?
Yeah. And he said, at first he was like, he got really angry. He's like, no, he can't. But we ended up, you know, and his kids were teepeeing with us, and we ended up doing a little teepeeing there. So, you know, kids or teens, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And you can either open up your ears and join them, or pretend they're not doing it. And, you know, so you got to have to redirect and give them some, keep them busy. Keep them
absolutely
busy.
Absolutely. And try not to, am I right if I say try not to react or overreact when you tell your parents something? If the parent, if you tell, confide in your parents, for the parent to overreact, right, is one of the worst things if you want to keep the,
exactly,
the lines open.
And then my son, I've mentioned this on a show before. My son did his senior prank was taking all the baseball team. They woke up at like 3 a.m. and they had this big plan. You know, he told me at the last minute, I was like, okay. And they went and captured all the sheep, Aunt Connie's sheep, and took like a dozen sheep to the school and dropped all the sheep off at Notre Dame High School. And the principal mentioned, you know, talked about it during the graduation and made a big joke about it. And, you know, Chet fessed up, and he said, whoever fesses up won't get in trouble. So my son said it was him. And I remember, once again, Randy Johnson was like, okay, he ended up letting him go. So, you know, teens are going to be teens, and they got to have a little fun. And, you know, you can, close your eyes and say, oh, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. They're going to do it.
Well, like what Karen said, you have a conversation starter. So one of the things I know that comes up a lot for my teens, especially those that are dating and the communication part of it, I know that, I mean, Joseph dates my daughter. So I think the interesting thing about it is that we forget that our kids grow up. And so oftentimes our parents say, you know, well, I'm letting you go, or they're not letting you go. Your circle's getting bigger. And the whole idea is to realize that these kids are here in this world to create their own impact. And so for me, it was just, I look at anyone that's in my kids' world as automatically in my world, 100%.
Yep.
And then what do you think, Joseph? How did that experience go for you?
Oh, with like communication with me and my parents, with like Marina.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I kind of just told them that, like, she's going to be in my life for a little while, and, you know, you either pretend like she's not there or, you know, react upon it. And, I mean, they've always been very nice and never show offish at all. But in the beginning, it was a bit rough, but, you know, as communication and, you know, as she kind of showed up, you know, everything's good, like, communication's great. You know, it's not like awkward.
Good.
It's like good.
Good.
Okay, so we have to wrap up because we have to say that we're here saving the planet.
One show at a time.
And we have Tyler King is going to sing one more song, but we're going to also announce that there's a...
the big fundraiser for Arizona Small Dog Rescue. Very cute title. It's our second event. It's the Spaghetti and No Balls Dinner Gala. It is on October 4th. So if you go to their website, tickets. Nope. October. Where did I say?
I thought it was the 5th. Is it the 4th or 5th? Okay. She'll look that
up.
Right.
But look on their website. They're still looking for some sponsors. So very cute. And
okay. So we are going to wrap up. We're saving the planet.
One show at a time.
Thank you, everyone. And Tyler King, we're going to close out with your song. What are you going to sing?
Excuse me. Just
Reach and Run. We're singing Reach and Run.
Here we go. Oh.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.